Hello, and welcome to the Flight for the Human Spirit podcast. I'm Michael Combs. So glad you're here today. There's several things I wanted to bring you up to date on. One is the status of the flight and where we are right now, as well as how Hope One did on her annual inspection after flying over 25,000 miles when we touched down in Rogers, Arkansas. I'm recording this from the Country Inn and Suites in Meridian, Mississippi. It's close to the east side, the Mississippi-Arkansas border. Flew here after meeting with EAA Chapter 38 in just south of the Macon, Georgia area. Fantastic group of guys and gals, let me tell you. I thoroughly enjoyed being there. Carl Tischer and his wife, Josephine, put me up in their home for a few days, and boy, I tell you, it was fun. It was, it's what flying's all about. They have a nice setup on a long grass strip. The strip's almost 3,000 feet long. And these guys just, they find out that somebody is over at another airport, they'll just jump in their plane and go fly over there. I just love that kind of a spirit. It's, again, to me, that's what flying is all about, just being able to have the freedom to jump in your aircraft and go to lunch with a friend, or to take a stranger up for a ride in your aircraft and show them the world from a different perspective. I had a great tour of the Robinson Air Force Base. It's a large facility, beautiful museum. I'm going to post some photos and a YouTube video up within the next few weeks on our site. We had a fantastic tour. Carl invited me over to the air base where his son works, and we were treated to a tour of a C-5 aircraft. Man, what a huge aircraft it was. As they explained it, you could put 6 Greyhound buses into that aircraft. Unbelievable, the capacity. I tell you, it's like a flying building. We went into the upper decks and really had a good look at several of them. The other one we looked at, they had just received several weeks before and had taken all of the panels off of the inside of the fuselage, and we're doing a very thorough inspection, notating any cracks or problems with it. So I tell you, it's just absolutely amazing that men can fly. And when men can fly huge buildings like that up in the air with such efficiency, it's unbelievable. One point of interest is they told me that the aircraft fully loaded won't fly with full fuel. So what they have to do is obviously payload is key on those large military aircraft. They take off and then fuel up in the air once they get off the ground. So I really wish I had that capacity with Hope One sometimes. I'm currently here waiting for a storm front to pass through. Boy, it is an amazingly large front. It's currently ranging from South Texas all the way up into New England. When it reached Dallas last night, it had 90 mile an hour damaging winds. So Hope One is safe in a hangar at Meridian Aviation here at the airport. And I will stay safe on the ground. When I flew in here from Georgia, I experienced a wind shear condition, and I had not personally experienced that before. Basically, what it is you've got winds blowing from the west, and then on the runway, the winds are blowing from the south, and somewhere you're going to find that transition airspace. And I found it at about 2,000 feet up, and boy, I had yet to have floated in the seat of Hope One, going negative G's at that point, but I had that experience, and it's one of those things where you thought that your seat belts were fastened tight enough, your shoulder harnesses, but You find out that they weren't. Things from underneath the seat had floated up out from underneath the seat and landed on the floor. So it was quite an experience. I was very, very thankful to be in that aircraft that is so sturdy and didn't have any structural problems or anything like that. I don't even worry about those problems with Hope One and the Remos. But I was also very thankful for the nets that we had installed. If you've seen photos of Hope One, you know that there are cargo nets that Michelle and I had designed and installed, and they are fantastic. I mean, I didn't get bonked from the back of the head or anything like that. So this has just been a great configuration for that aircraft and this mission. Last week, I finished the coast-to-coast trip. On March the 9th, I took off from Riverside, California at the Flaybob Airport to fly cross-country. The original plan was to fly to our home base in Denton, regroup, and then fly up to Rogers, Arkansas, where the Remos facility is, and have the annual inspection done, and I'll talk about that in a moment. And then from Rogers to fly downward towards or to the Sun and Fun Air Show, and from after Sun and Fun, just take a quick hop over to the East Coast and complete the coast-to-coast flight. Well, unfortunately, I tell you, when I got to the Denton Airport, the next day it was windy, and it was windy for a week and a half. I was originally going to fly up to Rogers on Monday to have the annual inspection done, and that would give us plenty of time to get to Sun and Fun. Unfortunately, the winds were so high, not only in the Dallas area, but up in Arkansas, that we had to stay on the ground until Thursday morning. Got it up there Thursday afternoon. The aircraft was ready by Friday afternoon. But the problem was, as I said to Michelle, wherever we are tonight, we're going to be stuck for the weekend. And we definitely were. Low clouds, and by low, I mean they were 1,200 to 1,500. And those conditions prevailed throughout the south and southeast area of the country for a number of days. Finally, by the following Monday, the clouds had broken enough for us to fly out of the Ozarks. And that was my main concern, is just being able to have the altitude to fly out of the Ozark mountain range. But we had landed at Philadelphia, Mississippi. The ceilings were at 1,900. My personal limit is 2,000. And so we got it on the ground. And there, Hope One stayed for the better part of a week. The clouds never did really lift. So Michelle and I, in fact, we were hoping to fly out on that following Tuesday morning. Unfortunately, the clouds just would not lift. In fact, I couldn't even see the end of the runway. And by about 2 o'clock, the mists started to come in. And so I said, okay, we're finished. So we rented a car, went down to Sun and Fun. Yes, we were there for the tornadoes that went through the area. There were two tornadoes that their paths almost paralleled, a straight west to east track from the Tampa Bay area onward through Lakeland and points east. Unbelievable experience. It looks like it actually did touch down on the west side of the airport. But it was very interesting. It all happened so fast. I tell you, I had a fantastic interview with Craig Fuller of AOPA. And I'm going to try to make a podcast just of that. But I do have the link out there so you can watch it. Or go to AOPA Live, aopalive.com. And search Combs, and you'll find it as well. It's just a great interview and discussion that Craig and I had about the Rally GA program and what each and every pilot can do to help promote aviation in his or her own way. It was about a half an hour after that interview was finished that the storm hit. And I will never forget, Michelle looked out the window of the motorhome that was at the Remos booth, and saw green clouds on the horizon moving very quickly. And as anyone knows who's been in heavy tornadoes or heavy thunderstorms, when you see a green cloud, take cover. And it was not just a few minutes later that it had definitely hit. Got some amazing videos. If you haven't heard, 40 to 50 aircraft were destroyed. And the damage was just unbelievable as it picked up these airplanes. And literally, as we walked around and drove around later, you could just see balls of airplanes that were just all twisted together. Likewise, it was a very common sight to see planes that had been flipped over on their tops or had been tossed up and nosed into the ground. One of the aircraft that was right behind us was approximately 80 yards away from where we were, was picked up, lifted up into the sky, came down and hit the strut of a vintage aircraft and damaged the wing of that plane, and then tumbled an additional 200 feet and landed on its top. So I tell you, it was unbelievable the destruction that storm caused. Sun and Fun was a great experience. I personally had a fantastic time. It was stressful in so many ways, just trying to get Hope One there. My plan was, after the AOPA interview, we would drive 12 hours back up to Mississippi, strap into Hope One, and fly it back the next day. Unfortunately, with those storms that lasted well into the evening, it just didn't seem like the right thing to do, and we thought it would just be better just to be at the show, to speak at the forums that I had signed up for, and to just leave Hope One in a safe location. So after the show was over, and I tell you, I had a fantastic group of people that came to hear my forum on how to plan a cross-country trip. We had standing room only in that room, and Tom Haynes from AOPA said that they were talking about that topic and me in a meeting, and said it's like Picasso giving a class on how to paint. So I felt very honored about that comment from Tom. Yeah, I guess I am pretty good at planning a cross-country trip. I've done it many, many, many times now at this point. So I guess I will keep my humility, because I know that there's always more that any of us can learn. But I'll continue to keep teaching and talking as much as I can, or as long as people will listen and I feel that I have something to offer. After the show was over, I took Michelle to Orlando. She had a business meeting up in West Virginia, and drove back up to Philadelphia, Mississippi to complete the coast-to-coast flight. And I did that last week, strapped back into Hope One, took off from Philadelphia, Mississippi, and had a fuel stop in Tallahassee, and then the coast-to-coast trip terminated at St. Augustine, Florida, which was just a fantastic experience. Not only seeing the Gulf of Mexico out the right-hand side of Hope One as I took off from Tallahassee, but likewise to see the Atlantic Ocean come up into the horizon and appear in the windscreen of Hope One. I spent a little time that evening going out to the beach and just quietly celebrating this victory, however large or small you want to measure it. In my own mind, it was quite an accomplishment to fly that little light sport aircraft coast to coast. Boy, I tell you, I have mixed feelings about the Flight for the Human Spirit as we're winding down. And I definitely am not winding down on my flights, but for the Flight for the Human Spirit, this has been an unbelievable experience. When I think that just a little over a year ago now, we took off on this amazing journey. At the time, I thought that this amazing journey would end sometime around the end of July, early August. And here we are a year later, and keeping Hawaii, that 50th state, in our sights. But currently, we have flown over 26 1,000 miles in Hope One and have logged 163 stops. When I touch down in Denton, we'll be at 27,000 miles, and that's where I will pull the information out of Hope One. We've logged every single mile and get an official count on how many miles it's actually flown, but just unbelievable. As far as Hawaii goes, it is looming. It is coming. Hawaii is that final state. As you know, we've touched down in 49 states and we're almost there. But I have had an interesting time just trying to get the support necessary to get that little airplane over. Here's where we are. FedEx has quoted me $23,000 one way to transport Hope One to Hawaii. So that's $46,000 that we would need to run, that we would need to raise, I'm sorry, to get Hope One over there. To ship it in a land and sea container, we need roughly $20,000. I just cannot believe that these costs are so high to ship an 800-pound aircraft, even on a ship across to Hawaii and back. But there's one company that does the shipping, and that one company absolutely will not return my phone calls and will not return any email requests, even for information. So it's just been a little point of frustration from my viewpoint. Hopefully you can catch that in my tone here. But it just, you know, we're so darn close. And we've reached 23, almost 24 million people with this project. I would hope that we'd have some interest of someone or some company out there that can help us to complete this journey. It was interesting because at Sun and Fun, that was one thing that everyone kept talking about that came up and met me and was asking about how things were going. One of the best leads that we had from Sun and Fun was from the Extra Aircraft Company, where they were good friends with Earl Boyder of the Remos Company, Remos Aircraft Company. And so that's kind of how we all started to talk about it. But they have an air show. It's a combined military air show in Hawaii that I believe is every other year. When they ship the extra aircraft over there, I think they have five of them in the air show. They roll them onto a C-5, which ironically was the aircraft that I had toured the other day with Carl. But they said there's plenty of room for Hope One to be on the aircraft, and we would be a part of the air show. So anyway, I was hoping last week to be home and to make those contacts and follow up. But with the way the weather has been and the strange flight schedule that we've had, this week and a half long trip has now turned into a 3-week trip. But I will be able to follow up on that this week and see what those dates are and to find out if that's a possibility. Who knows? That may be the way that we can get Hope One to Hawaii and back. And at that point, it would be a no charge for us other than getting it to the airport, wherever we need to ship it from. I hope that works out. We'll just have to see. We're looking at all kinds of other options. Chartering a cruise ship so that we just have 20 people come along with us on a Hawaiian cruise and see if we can get the cruise ship company to get Hope One on there and ferry it over that way. I'm not sure. We'll just have to see. One thing for sure is we don't have the fuel capacity as a light sport aircraft to fly over there from Long Beach to Honolulu. So we've got to find a different way. I know there's an answer. I have been working on some other things that are just as important to my heart, and I'm tapping my heart here. One of those was to finish an album. One of my goals next year is to conduct a symphony piece, and I needed to write that piece, so I finished that and am going through the refining process of of that album. But you'll have a new album out of me here within the next few months as I get that mixed and as time allows. We'll see. We will just see. How can you help? You can go to our website, www.flighths, and just throw $10 into the pot. There's a link right on the homepage that says, how can I help? Or donate or something like that. It's on the main page towards the bottom on the left. Another thing that I really, really, really would like you to do is make sure that your name or your family's name is in the Hope One notebook. This is a notebook full of fans and supporters who have their name flying with Hope One every single mile. This notebook will stay in the cargo hold of Hope One as it is donated eventually to a museum. It will be a part of the permanent exhibit. Believe me, this is an historic aircraft. We are so close to breaking the distance that any light sport aircraft has set on any world trip, and that is quite an accomplishment for a project that started with absolutely nothing. No big sponsors, other than, of course, Remos, who donated the aircraft for the trip, which I am very, very thankful for. And hopefully we're representing them well out there in the world. But at the same time, this project, I mean, as you know my story, I was sick, I got well, I was laid off of my job, and I continued this project anyway. And I just never, ever gave up on my own dreams. And now I'm encouraging others to never, ever give up on their dreams. And so this is one thing that you can do, is just $10 to put your family's name in a place of history. And imagine if there was a notebook where your grandparents' names are in the cargo hold of the Spirit of St. Louis. Charles Lindbergh's plane hanging up in the Smithsonian. How cool would that be for you to say? It's very, very similar with the Flight for the Human Spirit. So go to our webpage, flighths.com. Go to the store, and you'll find the Hope One notebook right there. Add your name. We'll send you a nice little certificate that you can print up and in frame, and then you can say, yeah, I'm helping this project out. Because believe me, this flight, even after it's finished, will not stop. We've got so much momentum now, so many fans following along. Our fan base keeps growing and growing, and I have amazing results of people whose lives have been touched by the Flight for the Human Spirit in a very deep way, and I am so thankful to be a part of that. Okay, one last thing I want to talk about is the annual inspection that Hope One had. Every aircraft once a year has an inspection that they go through, where the engine is thoroughly evaluated. Not only just for leaks, but compression tests and checks. The aircraft is dismantled so that each portion of the inside of that aircraft shell is inspected. Cables, wires, electronics, of course the engine, propeller surfaces, everything is given a very thorough inspection. Now, Nick Williams and Chris Ferguson of the Remos team conducted the annual inspection of Hope One, and we were all very, 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 very curious as to how it held up after flying at that point 25,000 miles, and I believe that was around the 160th, 159th stop of the Flight for the Human Spirit. AOPA called this the most road-tested light sport in the sky, and I would definitely agree. We've had a lot of people following this flight just for that viewpoint, to see how a light sport aircraft would hold up after that type of endurance flying for so long. this has not been a joyride. It's not been something that most people would want to do as far as the number of stops that we've had. I've had a great time flying from coast to coast, and I will do another podcast. It'll be a special edition podcast on that coast-to-coast flight. I think you'll find it a little bit enjoyable as far as some of the experiences of flying that light sport from one coast to the other on a trip. But typically on a flight like that, you're flying for 200 or 300 miles. You stop and get fuel, you stretch and keep going. On the flight for the Human Spirit, as you know, sometimes we would fly 100 miles to the next airport and stop and land and talk to folks and then continue onward maybe for another 100 or 200 miles. Sometimes it was 50 miles or whatever it might be to the next stop. So there's just a lot of different type of flying where Hope One was asked to climb and land and climb and land sometimes 5 and 6 times during a flight day. Needless to say, it was a lot of use of that aircraft, and she didn't have the luxury of having regular scheduled oil changes at exactly the proper intervals. Now, as it was, I had some mechanics who were very, very meticulous and really looked it over, and I am very, very thankful for those mechanics who saw the value of making sure that Hope One was checked out along the way. But at the same time, it was difficult to say, okay, at exactly 30 hours we're going to have the oil changed, because we might be in the middle of nowhere and continue to be in the middle of nowhere for a few more days until we can get to a place where we can have the oil changed. So I guess my point there is, as pristine as Hope One looks, and as much as I babied it as much as I possibly could, there was no way to treat that aircraft properly when it is flying that much on a mission like this, which drove home the point all the more. How did it hold up? What happened? I'm happy to say that Hope One, after nearly 500 hours, I think she's got 478, at that time it was 462 hours of flight time, inspected like a brand new aircraft. No leaks in the engine. With 80 pounds of pressure put into the cylinders, we had readings of 80 pounds in two of the cylinders and 79 pounds in two of the other cylinders. Typically, according to Nick Williams of Remos, they have, with an aircraft that has 500 hours, they're typically testing at 74 to 75 pounds of pressure. So Hope One was far and above and practically brand new from a mechanical engine viewpoint. And as far as all of the fittings and everything else, they did do some removal of some corrosion around just a few of the fittings, and I had seen those, but it wasn't anything very, very major. Just obviously it's been in humidity and sea air conditions and on, and put a coating on those. As far as the only things that Hope One really needed, fresh tires on the mains, brakes, which of course we expected those, a new set of spark plugs. They adjusted the carburetors so that they were in sync once again, changed the oil, and I had them upgrade the battery to a newer and bigger battery. So those are all just minor items after flying over 25,000 miles. I can't tell you how excited I was and still am that Remos held up so well. As you know from listening to these podcasts, we did a lot of research to find the right aircraft for this mission, and I really firmly believe that we did. When I was at EAA Chapter 38 a few days ago, they were looking at the aircraft over and over and over again. I had a lot of guys who are very, very appreciative of the manufacturing of this aircraft and have done a lot of homework on light sport aircraft, and were just absolutely amazed at the fit and finish and just what a quality aircraft this is. Even when I landed here at Meridian the other day, I had a pretty good crowd of people who had heard about the Flight for the Human Spirit, had read about the magazine or read in the magazine articles that have been out there, and some of the guys had seen some of our YouTube videos and were just absolutely amazed at how good Hope One still looks. So I tell you, I am just thrilled to be a part of this flight and to have the backing of Remos Aircraft the way that they have been. It's a fine aircraft, fine company, and I cannot say enough good things now. I was a little bit concerned, honestly, right up until I had seen the results of that annual about the Rotax engine. And the reason why, and this is my own viewpoint, is it's typically running at 5,000 to 5,200 RPM, depending on if you're climbing or level flight or what's going on. But it's very rare, unless I've got a tailwind, it's very rare that that engine is running less than 5,000. Typically, with a nice tailwind, it's cruising about 4,850 RPM, which is still a very fast number of revolutions per minute. But I tell you, after that many miles behind this engine and seeing how that engine has held up so darn well, I tell you, I have full confidence in the Rotax engine and its capabilities. Knowing that, as I was flying back from St. Augustine the other day, I just felt good. It was just a very comforting feeling to know that that engine has held up so well after that many miles. So a lot of people are questioning the value of the Rotax engine in the sky. Take it from me, somebody who's been behind one for all of these miles, it is an amazing, amazing piece of equipment, and you should have no hesitation purchasing an aircraft with a Rotax engine in it. Okay, so that's it for now. I am looking forward to being back home. Hopefully, I'll be back there tomorrow. I'll be speaking at another EAA chapter in Arlington, Texas tomorrow night, and then our home base, U.S. Aviation, is having an open house on their brand new FBO facilities, which are absolutely beautiful. If you're in the Denton, Texas area, stop by the home base of Hope One at U.S. Aviation. I tell you, it's an unbelievable facility. So I'll be speaking there this Saturday, and there will be an open house. We'll have Hope One on display there as well. So that's it. I hope I didn't prattle on too long, but I wanted to bring you up to date on what's going on with the Flight for the Human Spirit and just how Hope One did on her inspection. Next is I will have a number of YouTube videos out, so stay tuned there. We'll post those on our website as well or on Facebook. If you're a Facebook friend, I thank you for being a friend of the Flight for the Human Spirit, the official Flight for the Human Spirit site. And we'll keep you updated there as well. So for now, I tell you, whatever it is that you're looking to do in your life, don't give up. It is never, ever too late, my friend. This is your moment. There is that something that is upon you now that is rising up and ready to strike out to the world and to give you that place in your life that you've always wanted to be, whatever that is, whether it's relationships, whether it's better relationships, whether it's a better job, whether it's flying across the country or bicycling across the country or whatever it might be, that great thing is within you. And don't let it go. Do not, please do not let it go. It's never, ever too late for that dream to become a reality. So for now, and until next time, please take care of yourself, and I'll see you in the sky.